Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
You know, I once heard a comedian say that he needed much more excitement in his life. He actually said, I think what I need is an arch enemy. I think an arch enemy in my life would keep me on my toes. It would add some drama to my life. Well, I don't know about you, but I've got enough drama in my life without adding a relentless foe that I have to battle with every single day. And yet his wish is probably true, because as reality would have it, you do have an arch enemy. As a matter of fact, the scripture says it this way. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 11 says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and sober of mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you according to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore to you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So, unless you have some serious Tiger King skills, and we all know that those are desperately lacking, we should take a page out of Peter's playbook and listen to this challenge and this truth in our lives. Because we live in a culture that is roaring with opinions. After a while, it becomes almost too hard to hear even our own thoughts. And so as followers of Christ, it's vital that we're able to navigate this maze of ideas in order to share the truth of the gospel with a world that so desperately needs to hear it. And so as we start a new month, we also start a brand new series as we focus on the book of 1 Peter, which walks believers through the process of discerning truth from lies, the lies of our very own arch enemy that roars at us every single day. And it teaches us how to persevere, how to push through in faith and hope. And so today we begin our series with episode 1, and we're going to focus on the first chapter. And I've entitled my message today, So Much More. But first, I think it would be fitting if we kind of took a little helicopter overview of this book to give you a little bit of context for what we'll be digging into throughout this entire month of September. Now, the first letter of the Apostle Peter, formerly known as Simon, one of the 12, this is a guy who spent time living with Jesus. So when he says something, we need to tune in and listen. As a matter of fact, this book, this letter, gives the account of his journey and his calling to take the good news of Jesus beyond the borders of Israel. So this letter was written decades into that mission. And at the conclusion of this letter, we discover that Peter was actually in Rome. And Peter referred to the place that he was in as Babylon. Now, imagine, if you will, that he was kind of using a code word. Because in that day, you needed to be very careful when you spoke out or sounded like you were speaking out against the ruling power. You see, they didn't take too kindly to sharing the term Lord. And as Peter taught them about the Lord Jesus, that was very controversial in some political circles. Now, this book was a circular letter, and it was sent to multiple church communities in the Roman province of Asia Minor, which is actually modern-day Turkey. Now, Peter learns that these mostly non-Jewish Christians were being persecuted. They were facing the roar of hostility and harassment from their Greek and Roman neighbors. And so he endeavors to write this letter to encourage them in the midst of their suffering. And this also helps us to explain the overall design of the letter and its flow as it covers the main themes that we'll look at throughout the month. Now, the book opens with a greeting. He kind of announces who he is, and then it moves into a poetic song of praise, which kind of introduces the key themes that we'll be exploring together. And then he starts by kind of affirming this new family that they've entered into, talking about the kingdom of God. And it helps them to understand the power of their witness through very difficult times. And also talking about the future hope of Christ's return. Now, one of the things that we look over quickly in this scripture is something that I want to focus on a little bit today. You know, over the summer, I had an opportunity to kind of slow down, get a little bit of rest, explore our own province. You got lovely little towns and great food and wonderful people. But you know, wherever I go in the world, and you know what? They call it beautiful BC for a reason. It is absolutely beautiful. But no matter where I go, inevitably somebody will come up to me and mistake me for a local. They'll ask for directions. They'll look for advice. They need help. I don't know. I guess I have the look of a local. But that conversation looks similar every time. Usually my response, the first thing I say to them is, I'm not from here. In other words, I have a greater knowledge of where I'm from, but not so much where I'm visiting at the moment. See, 1 Peter 1:1 says, Peter, or Petros in the Greek, he was Simon. Jesus renamed him Peter, that he was the rock, Petros. And so it was almost a prophetic word over his life for the incredible leader that he would become. And so he starts in verse 1 identifying right out of the gate. So when they pull down that scroll and read it to those churches, they want the people immediately to know who the letter was from. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside, listen, as aliens or visitors. See, I'm an alien. I'm a visitor when I go to a place that I'm not from. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. Then again, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Peter uses this same word, alien, with a synonym for the combined phrase, aliens and strangers. Now, the actual word for stranger here in the Greek means an exile living far from home, kind of like a refugee. And so what he was trying to communicate is that their homeland is not where they currently reside. In other words, it's something has shifted within them. When they said yes to Jesus, something changed. Peter's audience was a group of first and second generation believers that were being persecuted in the day for their faith, for what they believed. And he wants them to be encouraged, to put their hope in not what this life can offer, but in the life that is to come, to put it in Christ. And so through their sufferings, he helped them to see purpose in learning from the hardship and moving through difficulties. See, the roar of persecution was so loud around them that some of them were beginning to drift. Some of them were beginning to be pulled back into the doubt that they once had, walking away from the truth and starting to live like they used to live. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do." You see, he wanted them to know that by trusting God as an alien and a stranger and persevering through whatever it is that they were facing, that their faith would actually be solidified. It would be strengthened. To know that if they endured, a new day was about to break. That if they endured, that if they held out, this new beginning was coming. It's that encouragement to don't stop believing. We'll enter the lead break for the journey song right there. Don't stop believing. Continue to trust God, because there's so much more. There is so much more than sometimes the things we settle for. So today I want you to start thinking a little differently. I want you to start thinking of yourselves as aliens and strangers. You see, we're not from here. We're just passing through. The moment we said yes to Christ, our citizenship shifted. We may reside here right now, but make no mistake, our home is in heaven. And it's easy sometimes to get caught up in this world and to begin thinking, this is all there is. This is all we have to hope for. When in fact, there is so much more. We may be in this world, but we are certainly not of this world. And with the strength and power of the Holy Spirit at work within each one of our lives, we can actually be the influence. We can bring change to culture instead of being influenced and allowing culture to change us. And so as we read through 1 Peter and other books that are in this section of Scripture, we see God calling us to live an exemplary life as the world watches on. Why? Why is that? Because there's so much more. There's so much more. Because each one of us are created. We're wired for it. Some may be attracted to our beliefs and even the way that we live. But others may actually hate us for it. We might get persecuted for it. Either way, we'll learn that we have a great purpose in our journey through this world if we stay close to Jesus. And our arch enemy will always roar with the ever-changing opinions that cycle through the world, trying to cancel truth, to intimidate us, to try to bend and reshape our understanding of the Word of God. But we must be the best citizens that we can of this world. But ultimately, we belong to another kingdom with another king, the king, whose roar is much more defined, much louder, more powerful than the enemy would ever hope to be. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and when he roars, lives are changed. People are healed. People are delivered from destructive thoughts and habits. You see, Jesus paid a very high price for you and I to experience so much more. You may be ready to throw in the towel on your marriage, on your relationship that you've had for so many years of your life. Today, Jesus wants you to know there's more. There's so much more. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Keep believing. You may be ready to maybe give up on a child who seems hell-bent on just making all the wrong decisions. Don't allow the roar of fear and doubt to cause you to back off. Keep praying, keep believing, because there is so much more. Peter wanted those persecuted believers to stand firm in their faith, to push through, because he knew that on the other side was a fresh start. Let me tell you this. Today, if you're navigating hardship, if you're going through struggle, Peter is speaking directly to you today. And he wants you to know that there's so much more. But you have to believe that. G. Campbell Morgan, the great evangelist, said, the great theme of his letter is that the Christian life is a life of triumph. Triumph. Listen, on the other side of struggle is triumph. And this little letter says that in your pain, in your hardship, triumph is coming. There's so much more. We need to view hardship really through the eyes of eternity. Trials are temporary. Triumph is eternal. Now, what do we have to triumph in? Let me give you four things that we see here in the first chapter of 1 Peter. The first thing is new life. New life. Something new is born in you when you decide, when you make that decision to follow Christ. And the best way that Peter can explain it is that it's like a newborn baby coming into the world. That new life that is born. That's a powerful, powerful image. And this is possible. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3 says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth or new life into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So it's the fulfillment of all those Old Testament promises. Because Christ rose, I have this new life, this this new hope. And because we have a living Lord, we have a living hope. Our hope is not dead because our Savior is not dead. So that's the first thing that we have to triumph in is new life. The second thing we have to triumph in is the deepening of our faith. God promises the deepening of our faith on the other side of hardship. He doesn't orchestrate pain in your life, but he can work through it. It's like gold in the refiner's fire. 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, even though lately you've had to put up with the grief of many trials, but these only reveal the sterling core or the depth of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes. For even gold is refined by the fire. Your authentic faith, your deepening faith, will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. You see, the value of gold is actually enhanced through the fire. Through the suffering, Jesus came to a place where he brought about the reality of the promise that there is so much more. Jesus went to the cross because there's so much more. And what it is an authentic, deeper faith that God wants each of us to walk in. And when we walk in step with the Spirit of God, the trial you're facing will actually not destroy you. It will deepen you. Number three, the third thing that we can triumph in is our access to joy. What does joy look like? I believe it looks like praise, and it looks like worship. 1 Peter 1:8 says, through believing in him, you are saturated with an ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory. See, on your most difficult day, there's a power that's released, a joy that you qualify for when you praise him instead of curse him. You then have access to supernatural strength through the joy that God gives you. And when you choose to praise him, when you feel like collapsing, but you still choose to praise him, when you're mad, but you still praise him, when you're exhausted, when you can't go on any longer, but you still choose to praise him, something wells up within you in the darkest moments that you face. It's not even happiness. It's something much deeper. It's an unspeakable, undescribable joy that only God can make happen within our lives. Finally, what else can we triumph in? This one, I love this one. We're in the will. You see, you don't have just salvation. The Bible says you also have a promised inheritance. And this wasn't triggered by a death. This was actually triggered by a resurrection. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Listen, natural wills that are put together on this earth are put in place to divide up an inheritance after someone passes. And the truth is, some of those natural wills can actually lead to conflict as people fight over stuff. That's mine, that's not yours. But this will doesn't divide sons and daughters. It creates sons and daughters. We're not driven away from the family. We're brought into one. A natural will is all about belongings. Again, stuff. This will, this inheritance that we've been promised, it causes us to belong. You're welcome at his table. You belong here. And when we're at our worst, he wrote us into the will. You know, many people have to be careful when they're wrote into a will, because if, according to their behavior, they say or do something, you might get written out of the will. The good news is when you and I were at our worst, that's when God wrote us in to his will. It's all about having a relationship with a heavenly Father that we can run to, who will love us, and who will celebrate us. And so beyond the roar of all the opinions that are swirling around, beyond the roar of fear and anxiety and doubt, even in the midst of hardship, Peter's message to each of us today is that in Christ, there is so much more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the joy that you've given us, even in the midst of struggle and hardship. When we are at our weakest moment in the darkest of days, that you can bring about a joy that gives us supernatural strength. Because we know there's so much more when we say yes to you. We know that in this world we belong to you, and that beyond the roar of all the opinions that we hear is the truth that we will hold fast to. Today, as I close our service in prayer, I wonder if there's someone watching today that would say, Pastor Steve, would you pray for me? I need to know Jesus, the Jesus you're talking about that gives that kind of joy. Today, if that's you, your heart's pounding out of your chest, wherever you are, wherever you're watching this service, you can say yes to him and have your life forever changed. Your citizenship goes from one of a person on this planet to the kingdom of God. It's a powerful thing. The things you're struggling to try to do, he can do through you and for you. So if that's you today, click on that virtual hand. Put your hand up. Our team and I want to pray with you right now this simple prayer. If that's you, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I thank you for forgiving my sin. Fill me with an eternal hope that will allow me to push through struggle to get to the triumph on the other side. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you pray that prayer today for the first time, you've made the best decision of your life. Please let somebody know in the chat today, one of our team. We'd love to get you some resources to help you on your journey as you grow in your faith. And if you're at home today and you're just dealing with the struggles that we're going through in this world right now, please know that on the other side of hardship is the promise of triumph. Listen, could I thank you also for your generosity as a church? We are a family that truly believes in being generous. God so loved the world that he gave. We love God so much that we too give. And you know what? When everything changed in the world and it started to look a little different, so many of you continued to give and were faithful, and I want to thank you for doing that. It makes all the difference in everything God has called us to do and all that we continue to push into next. So today is our final act of worship. I want to give you another opportunity to give. We've made it very simple, very secure. Just click on give, or you can visit calvary.ca/give. You can also text the word CalvaryCA to the number 73256 on your mobile device. And here's why I'm asking you to stay faithful in your giving. Because through whatever we face, needs will still be there. People will still need to be loved with the love of Christ and practically help. That's why we partner with other ministries within the city, like Night Shift and the City Dream Center, to get out there and meet those practical needs. You know, people have a tendency to be much more receptive to the gospel when they've got a full stomach and they're not gone hungry or they're not in pain. We have the ability to come alongside them and to love them, to bring stability when the world is shaking all around us. So thank you again. Thank you for your faithfulness and your generous spirit. And today I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your offering as you give today. And let's believe God for great things in your life and in the needs that you have. Father, we thank you today for those that generously give. We ask that you would bless them and continue to provide for them in everything that they have need of. Lord, we know that you are our great provider, and so we trust you through it all. And we are excited to see all that you've called us to do. And as we walk out this mission of loving God, loving people, and loving the life you've given us, I pray that you would continue to develop a family of people that believe so much that they will give of their finances and their time to make a difference in the lives of other people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today, for watching. I want to encourage you to connect to people as we push throughout this new month of September and things begin to go in motion with our families. Let's be part of a small group. Let's connect with other people of like faith that are going in the same direction. And then join us on a Sunday morning for one of our Calvary Watch services so that you can watch right here in person. If that's you today, we welcome you here at the church. And for those of you that are still at home or maybe you're traveling, Calvary Church Online continues. We want you to feel comfortable attending wherever you want to be ministered to so that you can worship with us and that you can take in the Word of God as we grow together. So God's best to all of you. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next weekend. Beep.